Now you have in chapter 9 here, the Shekinah glory prepares to leave the temple. Now I believe from the days of Manasseh there was the coming and going of the Shekinah glory, because God is merciful. He doesn't in a petulant mood give up people. God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. Now you have in this chapter here, we read in verse 2, behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man with a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, that is, the holy place, and these cherub above the mercy seat. That's where the glory was. The glory lifts up, a token of the presence of God that's departing, upon which he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, who had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the man that sigh and that cry for all abominations that are done in the midst of it. Mark the man. The X will mark the spot where those that want these abominations and are going after them, God said, I will judge them. But that man with the inkhorn speaks of that remnant that God will save in that city, in which he did. Now, these six men, I take it here, are angels. I see no other explanation for them. And angels are used in judgment, and they have to do with the judgment of this world. They have to do with the nation Israel. They have nothing to do with the church, by the way. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, not a bunch of angels. The Holy Spirit came. And when the Lord Jesus Christ takes the church out of the world, there'll be no angels there. But when he comes to the earth to establish his kingdom, may I say to you, he'll send forth his angels. Listen to Matthew 13:41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend them which do iniquity. And then in Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. That's when he comes to the earth. And then Paul in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8 says, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you find in the book of Revelation, and that's one evidence the church is gone. When you leave the third chapter, and up to that time, the church has been mentioned. From then on, no mention of the church. Why? It's gone from the earth, and angels take over, and it's judgment down here upon the earth. That is a very significant thing, and that's what we have here. Now, he says again here in verse 9, then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. He's blind, and he can't make it to the earth. That's just the same as saying God is dead. That theory that didn't last very long. It became popular for a little while, but I don't know, it just didn't go over. It's one thing to say he's just not out there. He doesn't know. But then when you sit down and think that thing through, you realize how absurd it is. My friend, because you haven't seen God, because you have no evidence of him, because you have lived from him today, that's no proof that it does not exist. I have never been to Tokyo, Japan. But I believe there's a city by the name of Tokyo, and it's in Japan. It's a great city. I've never been there. I've never seen it at all, but I believe it's there. But I could act like it's not there. And in my book, I just soon act that way because I don't care about going there at all. I have no desire to. We broadcast over in that area, by the way, and I like to go that direction and that route. But actually, we need to recognize that just because we have had no intimate relation with God doesn't mean that God does not exist. And here they're trying to say he's forsaken the earth. Why? Because they've forsaken God. Now, verse 10 of chapter 9 of Ezekiel. And as for me, also mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And friends, I just well tell you, the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar and the burning of that temple was frightful. You want to know why God did it? He's telling you here. You don't like it? I'm sorry. But he's running things. And if you are out of step with him, it might be well to get in step with him. By the way, that's a sensible thing to do. I'd be very frank with you. If I saw a lion coming down the street toward me, I wouldn't meet him head on. I'd turn, be going the same direction of the lion and as far ahead of him as I could go. And I want to tell you, you can defy God if you want to. But may I say to you that the Lord is riding triumphantly in his own chariot. God have mercy if you get in his way. The mills of the gods, the Greeks said, grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. Now will you notice, and behold, the man clothed with linen who had the inkhorn by his side reported the matter, saying, I've done as thou hast commanded me. Now, there are those that are picked out for judgment. And then there is the remnant that is to be saved, because our God is merciful when men will turn to him. And that makes his judgment actually more frightful. We leave off there, beginning chapter 10 next time. Until then, may God bless you, my beloved.